It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
You're not going to make me do it, y'all. The chatty house, the sophomore class, is trying to get us to say naughty things.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Not happening.
Nope.
We're too smart for you guys. He's James, I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. It is Friday, February 28th, the last day of February. No Kings today, but there was a ton of hoop last night, and it was a ton of fun, and we will dive into that. Thank you, everybody listening on the radio, everybody on the free Odyssey app. Thank you. If you're listening to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show, wherever you get your podcast, that's the podcast version of this show. Hello, and hope the future is going well. And everybody in the chatty house, well, most people in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Appreciate y'all, most of y'all as well. I got off to the worst start that you can get to in a day.
Today?
My alarm went off at 5:15 a.m.
Okay.
It's Friday. My alarm went off at 5:15 a.m., which it normally does. It used to go off at 5, but I ended up pushing my out of bed, like feet on the floor time to 5:45 anyway, so I've just pushed back my alarms. Anyways, doesn't matter. And my first reaction was, oops, I forgot to turn my alarm off. It's Saturday.
Oh, no.
So I hit my alarm, and I get all cozy, and then I'm like, oh, wait. Is it Saturday? Mm-hmm. What did I do yesterday? Yesterday was Friday. And I tried talking myself into it being Saturday. In no world is it Saturday. And so I laid there for half an hour begrudging the fact that it is not, in fact, Saturday. And I can't just go back to sleep. Luckily, I like my job very much. So it's not that hard to get out of bed and come to work. Plus, it's a coffee day. I picked up some Dutch Bros on the way in. That's always a fun little treat on a Friday.
Okay.
So, it ended up being okay. Vibes are up, but man, worst way to start a Friday is thinking it's Saturday.
I stopped knowing really what day of the week it was a couple of years ago. Like, when you cover a basketball team, it doesn't matter what day of the week you think it is. It's either a day that you're going to a game or today you're going to a practice or whatever. You just lose track of all days. Now, we clearly have a Monday through Friday job that we do here on the radio, but I just kind of know that I've got to get up and there hasn't been 5 days in the week yet, so I got to keep going. And then sometimes I figure out what day of the week it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't just look at your phone?
No.
It says it right there, right at the top on the iPhone.
It does. Sometimes
it's
I just
Friday,
like
February 28th, 10:03.
Like I look at my phone like right before we start. I'm like, oh, it's Thursday. It's Kyle's favorite day of the week.
Hell yeah. Damn right it is. Or you can just look at the top of the rundown.
There it is.
Throw it there too.
Sometimes we do. I notice that when we change it.
All right. So we're just going to run through some of the basketball games that happened last night.
That's a good idea.
Because there is so much that went on. First of all, Steph Curry still got it, dog. 56 of Golden State's 121 points. He goes 16 of 25 from the field, 12 of 19 from three. His third career game with 12 made threes, which is just bonkers. I was going through this last night as he continued his flurry that dragged Golden State across the finish line against Orlando. They wanted to lose that game so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything they could to lose that game, and Steph said, nope. That was crazy.
He's one of those players that you just, when he's gone, we will miss him so much.
Dude, 100%.
When he is no longer playing, you're going to be like, oh, man. Because he just has these moments of just pure, like, greatness.
Yes.
And just, it doesn't matter what team you're cheering for, you just sit back and go, I can't believe he just did that.
I keep waiting for the last one. And I keep going, okay, well, all right, he had a huge game. It's probably the last one of those we'll get.
Yeah, we might not see that again from him. No.
We may. Now, 12 threes is a lot. We may not see that again. That might be his last 12 three-point game. Game with 12 three-pointers.
He'll probably do it this weekend again. And we'll be like, oh, well, maybe he won't ever do it again. No, probably he will keep doing it. That's just who he is. Yeah, he has a way of breaking your spirit like no other player that I can remember.
It just that so Golden State was not good last night.
Mm-mm.
They were down 14 at the half because they went down 17, and then Steph hit a 50-footer at the first half buzzer to get it to 14. Which, if you're the Magic, why are you not guarding him 50 feet from the basket? I know that sounds insane and it sounds ridiculous,
yeah,
but we have 10 years of this now. You know that you need to guard him 94 feet.
Oh, yeah. So you, him and Dame, you have to pick up like so far. Like as soon as the ball's inbound, you should have somebody just running at them and getting the ball out of their hands.
Yeah, just get a hand up. Do something. He gets to just walk into a 50-footer. That's insane. That's like probably a 30% shot for him.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Uncontested?
Yeah, yeah, I would say it's probably 35.
It's cash. It's crazy. He has 45 career games with 9 or more made threes. Second all time is Dame Lillard with 14. We move to 10. Career games with 10 or more made threes. Steph has 26. Second place is Klay Thompson at 9.
Oh my gosh.
11 or more made threes. Steph has done that 14 times. Klay and Dame have each done it 4 times. Nobody else has done it more than twice. And then we go to 12, where it's Steph and Klay, 3 each. Nobody else has more than one. Keegan Murray, one of those ones, though. So Zach LaVine, by the way.
There we go.
Zach LaVine and Keegan Murray both have games with 12 or more made threes.
Well, they're going to need to if they're going to get up to Doug Christie's 50 three-point attempts in a game, which is what he's now asking for.
50?
Yeah.
That feels like a lot.
It does feel like a lot. I think his number is lower than that, but he's like, hey, they're kind of coasting in at like 35, 37.
Mm.
Like, no, I need to bump the number up.
I see. Gotcha. It's like when I say I want to leave the house by 6, but really it's like 7 would do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say 6 because we're going to leave at 6:45.
Okay.
And if I say, well, I want to leave by 7, it means we're leaving by like 7:30.
So is... What time do you leave every day?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just picking a time.
Oh, a day. Yeah.
I leave between like 6:15 and 6:30.
Okay, that's
tough. Depending on how long it takes me to make my coffee.
Yeah, I'm not awake by then.
That's fine. Oh. I enjoy the commute. I don't mind it. There's a bunch of stuff aside from Steph from that Warriors Magic game here. I think Golden State is a really good example when we talk about the Kings and we start talking about ceiling and... And you and I are very much on the record of not quite seeing the vision with this group of players.
For Sacramento, yes.
But on the other hand, Golden State lost to the Lakers on February 6th. That's 22 days ago, so 3 weeks ago. They lost to the Lakers on February 6th. That put them a game under 500, and they were tied for 10th with the Kings. Since then, they've won 6 of 7. They're now in 7th place and a half game back at the 6th seed. By winning 6 out of 7... That's a nice little run, but that's not 10 in a row.
No, I mean, at the same time, the Kings won 5 out of 7.
Right. So that's where when we're talking about the Kings, and this is something I kind of have to remember, and I think I forget it sometimes because I think I zoom out too much and I start looking at, yeah, but this group of players, like, what does it look like next year? Or what does it look like in 2 years? But if we're focusing on this year, it's like, man, if they win... 4 out of their next 5, which is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
4 out of the next 5, we're talking 6 seed again. Is that easy in the West right now? I shouldn't say easy, but it's that quick
it's that
in the West right now.
Simple if you look at just the way that the stats work.
Yeah.
But when you factor in travel, when you factor in strength of schedule and everything else, it's just not that simple. Like the Kings need to be playing exceptional basketball in order to do that.
No doubt.
And so far, they haven't played exceptional basketball with this group of players outside of one game against one of the worst teams in the league, right? Who is missing players. So you're sitting here waiting for that moment where you feel secure in who the Kings are and what they can achieve, where I all of a sudden the Warriors have been able to do that. But again, like they're going to have to play teams. They're going to have to...
Oh, for sure.
Like, what do they look like against some of the upper echelon teams? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, like we've talked about this, I thought a couple of years ago that the Kings were going to fold in the second half of the season. I thought they might go 500 in the final 25 games.
In the 22-23 year.
Yeah. And instead, they end up going like 20-4, 21-4, something like that. Yeah. It was like something crazy after the break. That's not something you can expect from a team, but I think it's possible with the way that the Warriors are built, the way that they're seasoned, and they've at least a lot of the pieces have been together for a while. Mm-hmm. They at least have a better opportunity to have that stretch. But it doesn't mean the Kings can't.
So a couple of things. So I want to get to, we're going to do a draft of players 25 and under.
Okay.
Based off of an outrageous Paolo Banchero performance last night. And we'll get to that for sure. But the other thing that jumps out to me is how the Kings are using the G League.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors did that same thing with Quentin Post. Quentin Post is their rookie center. Didn't play a lick in the NBA up until like earlier this month. Maybe it was last month. I don't know. I lose track of time. But basically, he's in the G League, and they developed him in the G League, and then they brought him up, and they started putting him in the rotation here and there. They started him for a minute, but now he's just like a really key rotation piece for them. He scored 18 points last night. He was their second highest scorer. And I kind of wonder in the NBA if this is how teams are going to start utilizing the G League. Where it's not just this thing where, yeah, just put the player down there if we don't know what to do with them, and we'll try and figure it out later. Because I think the Kings have done this with Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing it with Isaac Jones. I think they're trying to do it now with Devin Carter, where you can use it as a legitimate developmental league. Carter might be the best player on the Stockton Kings by a lot, and he might average 29 or 30 a night. But just getting to play, getting to be within a system, getting to develop and work on certain things that are going to help him when he steps back on an NBA floor for regular minutes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think enough teams are doing that.
Yeah, so for me, when I look at the G League, I think that, you know, for the longest time, teams have used it incorrectly. And I've had this conversation plenty of times. But the way that I look at the G League is there's an opportunity there. And not every situation is the same. Like, so for me, Devin Carter's situation is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dude missed, like, he couldn't play basketball for 7 months because he underwent shoulder surgery. He needs to be down there just getting reps. And it doesn't matter what he scores, what his rebound numbers are. Like, you have to look at those numbers as completely fictitious and elevated numbers, because what his role is there and what his role is in Sacramento will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just not going to, like, get him up to speed and, oh my gosh, he's averaging 28 points a game. Let's just throw him in as a starting point guard, and he's going to hopefully average 27, 28 points per game in the pros. That's not the way it works, right?
Mm-mm.
So I think using it as a rehab assignment is basically what they're doing. It's like when a player comes back from injury in Major League Baseball, you know, sometimes they send him down to Sutter Health Park to play for the Giants for a couple of games. And just to get some swings and get some, you know, run the bases, play in the outfield a little bit, right? So I think that that's more of what we're seeing from Devin at this point. He also needs to grow as a player, but I think that's secondary to, like, look, man, you've got to get in game shape. You've got to get in, because you can still see him like 3 minutes into a Kings game with his, like, hands on his knees, like, breathing heavy and trying to catch his wind. Now, when it comes to a guy like Isaac Jones, this is a perfect place for Isaac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go get as many minutes as possible. But I also think the G League, they really need to find specific types of players, because what you don't get from the G League is a guy who scores 30 points a game for the G League and then goes up to the big club and all of a sudden he's a 30-point per game.
Right.
You're not going to find stars.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find role players. And if you can refine role players
at
the G League level, you can start creating, like, almost like a pipeline for yourself of these types of players that are so incredibly valuable. And I think there are specific types of role players, the 3-and-D wing, the 3-and-D, you know, two guard, the crazy undersized 4 or 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think Houston is the example, like during when Monty McNair was there, that they used to just create these guys, the Daniel Houses of the world, Tariq Black, Montrezl Harrell, like these guys that play a specific type of role, but they're sort of underutilized at the NBA level. You need to get their confidence up, and then when you bring them up, they have a specific role. Like, this is what I need you to do. I need you to do exactly what you did in the G League. Just go be really good at your role, and you can find success and stick. And I still don't think the G League does enough of that. It's still way too much of, hey, let's take a flyer on this guy and see what he looks like.
Yeah. Like, you can be taking a flyer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's what undrafted guys, Isaiah Crawford, Isaac Jones, that's a flyer just by definition. Because if they don't work out, it's whatever. But you can, that doesn't mean you just put them down there and go, hey, what do they look like? You can take Isaac Jones and say, hey, you maximizing what you are as a player, you can fit into the NBA in this way.
Yep.
So go do these things at the G League and get really, really awesome at these things. Isaiah Crawford, same thing. We envision you doing this. Go be really good at those things. Not just, yeah, go play and we'll see if you're any good and then we'll try and fit you in at the NBA and see what you do there. Like, no, have an idea. Have a thought. Have a vision.
Totally. And on top of that, Kyle, what you don't want to do is send a guy down there and say, hey, go get us 25 a game.
Yeah,
like, right. Hey, I Isaiah Crawford is a perfect example. Go be the best version. They found a guy with the body frame that
mm-hmm.
they want,
mm-hmm.
long arms,
yep.
Huge leaper,
yep.
huge leaper. At 6'6", built like Lou Dort. Mm-hmm. Like, go down there and develop that guy into that type of player that you need.
Yep.
And not all of them are going to work out. And then the other way that I think the G League can be used is if a guy has a specific deficiency in his game.
Sure.
Send him down. And that's where I think the point guard or the guard that you need him to be able to bring the ball up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kings have done a good job of that with Keon, with Colby Jones, with like mm-hmm. some of the other players that they bring in. It's like even Devin Carter right now, like go down there, be a primary ball handler.
Yeah.
Understand what it is to be that player.
Mm-hmm.
Help your teammates get better. And, you know, maybe we can hone a skill that you don't have it. It's not an NBA level skill today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it can be a year from now. And that's another way in which I think they can use the G League effectively.
We have a ton more basketball to talk about. A's manager, Sacramento A's manager. We can't call him that while he's on here because that's like not what they want. But we're calling him the Sacramento A's manager, Mark Kotze. He's going to join us at 10:45. We'll find out what's happening down there in spring training. He's jumping on with us like an hour and 15 minutes before they play. So salute to Mark Kotze
for
squeezing us into his schedule. And then it sounds like the 49ers might be about to trade Deebo Samuel. We'll tell you the latest on that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Rocking with you until noon. A's manager Mark Kotze is going to join us at 10:45. If you'd like to join the program, call the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the show, I want to play a fun game. Actually, before we get to the fun game, we have some news. According to Jordan Schultz, Ian Rappaport's number one hater, and
the son of Howard Schultz,
son of former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. He's now an NFL insider for Fox. The Commanders and Texans have had significant interest in trading for 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, with talks progressing in recent days. Other teams include the Steelers and Broncos. Other teams, including the Steelers and Broncos, have also checked in, but Houston and Washington are believed to be the most aggressive. This is interesting, not that Deebo is being shopped, because John Lynch confirmed that they would be granting his wish to no longer be on the 49ers. Not really to no longer be on the 49ers, but the Niners don't want to pay him. So he's trying to get another bite at the apple and hoping to do so via trade. The reason this is interesting is that there's two teams in that report with significant interest. Because that's how a trade in this situation happens.
Yeah, you need him to be a popular name.
Right.
And you need teams to want to trade for him.
Because if not, if it was the Commanders only, the Commanders are going to go, okay, well, you're going to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just wait for that and then just sign him and not have to give you draft capital. So the fact that there are two teams in this report who are very interested in acquiring Deebo Samuel, that's really good news for the 49ers, because that means one of those teams is not going to wait for him to get cut because they want him. So they're going to give up draft capital to get him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that there's going to be some sort of draft capital that, you know, brings you something for him. We now have more breaking news. The Los Angeles Rams have reached an agreement with Matthew Stafford on a restructured deal that keeps him in Los Angeles.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's per Adam Schefter. And actually, there might have been someone who beat him to that note, but yeah, that's a big deal as well. Like, things are happening. What's going on in the NFL, Kyle?
Well, the scuttlebutt coming out of the combine, the first couple of days at least, was that Matthew Stafford was gone.
Yeah,
it was. Is he going to the Raiders or the Giants? And now all of a sudden he's staying in LA, which is the right move. LA was good.
Yeah,
they nearly beat Philly in Philly. And Matthew Stafford was making peanuts compared to the rest of the quarterback market. So he said, hey, we almost beat Philly last year in Philly. We had a super young roster that's only getting better. I would like to be compensated for making this team a Super Bowl contender, or at least a playoff team. And apparently now they have agreed to a deal that bumps up his compensation, which they can do because like their entire defense is on rookie contracts.
That's, yeah, it's kind of like the Brock Purdy thing, right? Just in reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this is a major domino, right? Because the Raiders and Giants were super interested. Mm-hmm. Now he's off the market, and, you know, those guys are going to have to figure out what that means for them, like pre-draft, mm-hmm. whether that means that they're going to try to move up in the draft to select a different quarterback. I don't know. I could see, I could see the Raiders being more aggressive now that Stafford's off the board.
All right. We'll continue following any more major news that comes out of the NFL Combine. But Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams. I was really hopeful he was going to get traded because the Rams weren't going to be nearly as good with whoever they brought in instead.
No.
Especially if it was Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at it and I'm going, man, the Niners get Purdy signed, and assuming he doesn't suck, which he... what we saw last year might just be who he is, mm-hmm. but they might be in a really good spot, like quarterback wise, in compared the NFC West.
Compared to the other teams.
But alas, the Rams are going to be really good again.
Yeah, I wonder what all this means for Sam Darnold, because he's the guy that
he's gonna get paid still.
He's going to get paid by somebody.
Yeah, he's going to get a deal probably in the $40 million range.
Yeah, that's crazy.
3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
$40 million per.
I think he'd fit with the Raiders for sure. I think he would have fit really well with the Rams.
The Raiders are so fascinating to me, man. I begrudgingly like Pete Carroll. I want to hate Pete Carroll so bad, and I just can't.
Okay.
And we've been talking about trying to get an adult in the room for a while, and I think just what they did with Spytek and with Carroll, just, man, I think they're doing a lot of the right things. You get a player like Sam Darnold and surround him with the right pieces. We've already seen he can
put up numbers
and help you win.
Yeah, whether he can win you a Super Bowl or something, we have no idea. Probably
the bar is not there for Vegas just yet.
No, but that's like so far off in the distance. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Excited to see what the Raiders do this offseason. Love what they've done so far. But again, we'll get to more of that. Free agency in the NFL opens in 2 weeks. That's right around the corner. And then 6 weeks after that, we get the draft. So we'll have a ton of NFL stuff happening here soon.
I do like that the NFL does, I think it does work better to have free agency first and then the draft.
I agree.
I think it takes pressure off whoever's going to be drafted.
Yeah, and it just makes it makes it easier going into the draft knowing you can maximize what those players can do for you.
Yeah, I think it might even like shift, from a need-based draft. From a talent-based draft solely to a need-based draft, mm-hmm. Especially once you get outside of like the top five.
Yeah,
for interesting.
Sure. All right, let's shift gears back to the NBA. There's a ton of NBA action last night that helped and hurt the Kings, who were not active. Something that jumped out to me last night, though, Paolo Banchero, man. I admittedly don't watch a ton of Orlando Magic basketball. Forgive me. But every time I watch them, Paolo cooks. And he had last night 41-6-5 with 2 steals. He was 16 of 27 from the field and 4 of 10 from 3. He was awesome. and you see where, man, he might wind up being one of the five best dudes in the NBA at some point.
So, I think he's going to be one of the top five scorers in the league, but go ahead.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I just, in general, I like what Orlando's building. But I was sitting there and I'm thinking, man, how many dudes would I take over Paolo who are 25 and under? So I did the legwork today of putting together a list of all the players in the NBA, not all the players, all the consequential players, or at least moderately consequential players who are 25 and under.
Okay.
Are you taking, how do I want to do this? Let's just do a draft. You can pick first.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you taking first of this list of players who's 25 and under? And if you'd like to participate in the chatty house, please do.
Okay. This is super tough.
Is it?
It's
first pick is a layup for me.
Okay. What are you doing? Like Amen Thompson? No?
No.
Okay.
Wemby, dog.
Oh, Wemby. Wemby, of course. Yeah, Wemby's number one for sure.
Yes.
That's easy. But once you get after that, like...
It's really tough, dude.
Yeah, because, I mean...
You can make... Here's okay, so it's my first... It's my pick now.
Okay.
Here's all the players that you could, I think, make a case for. Just in the West, Chet Holmgren, I think you can make a case. Anthony Edwards, you can certainly make a case. In fact, he might wind up being my pick. Ja Morant is still 25, so he hits the threshold. Amen Thompson has looked incredible.
Okay.
Let's see, who else is in here? Paolo Banchero in the East.
Zion.
Okay, if you want to throw Zion in there, that's fine. Scottie Barnes, face of the NBA.
Yep, Tyrese Evan Maxey. Mobley. I love Tyrese Maxey.
Tyrese Maxey. Yep.
Cade Cunningham.
If you're starting a team, Cade has looked outstanding for my Pistons this year.
Yeah.
It gets a lot more difficult when you remove Wemby out of the conversation.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I don't know because
I... Me neither.
Yeah. If I'm building a team, it's Wemby for sure.
I 6 weeks ago, I wouldn't have even considered Amen Thompson. And now I feel like he needs to be the guy. It's because he's looked so freaking good over the last month and a half.
Yeah, you're considering him to be like a player that could take one of those gigantic leaps.
I think I might be going Paolo, though.
Okay. I think Ant-Man would probably be the best decision. But Paolo is probably, like, if you're just looking at pure upside.
You're absolutely right. I'm going Anthony Edwards, my pick. You're absolutely right.
Okay. If you're going Anthony Edwards, then I'm going Paolo.
So Paolo's number three, then, if we're doing it this way.
Yep.
Anthony Edwards and Victor Wembanyama are the two players that you would take over Paolo Banchero right now.
Yes.
25 and under.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's probably a Paolo Wemby front court. So sick.
Oh, that would be crazy.
My second pick. I need somebody who can take some of the playmaking onus off of Ant because Ant's not really a playmaker yet.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Cade. I think Cade's my second pick.
Okay.
I think Cade might be that guy.
I would go...
In a world where the Pistons are finals contenders, mm-hmm. Cade is an MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the direction I'm going.
At this pick, I would probably go with the third pick. I would go Amen Thompson.
Yeah, your team's so good. I'm already jealous.
Yeah, I mean, like there are some very good options at this point, but...
But that's just such a good...
It's the ceiling.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've already got guys that you know are going to be really good, then you can take a swing for a ceiling player.
Yeah. Man. Do I want to just go Asar Thompson and hope that he can just be Amen? So you've got Paolo, Wemby, and Amen Thompson. I've got Ant and Cade Cunningham. I think I'm going to go Chet 3.
Okay.
I'm a little worried about his... injury history.
Okay.
It's not been great, but I think if you've got Chet running around, A, he doesn't need the ball a lot offensively. He's a stretch five, and defensively, he is as good as anybody in the league not named Victor Wembanyama. So I'm going to go with Chet.
Okay. I would, I mean, that's a really good pick. Man, I'm trying to decide between two players, and I'm going to go...
You need a ball handler, dude.
Yeah, I do. That's why I was thinking. I'm going to go Tyrese Maxey.
That's the move.
Yeah, I think Tyrese Maxey would be, like, with those guys, a perfect fit.
Oh,
I so good. Really, really like Tyrese Maxey as a
Me
player.
Me too, man. I think he's just... The fact that he's kind of... managed to continue getting better in the environment that he's in
mm-hmm.
speaks volumes about him as a player. That is that what he's been able to do in the chaos of Joel Embiid being in and out of the lineup, and then they lose all their guys and they bring in Paul George. I'm just really, really impressed with the fact that Tyrese Maxey continues looking like an all-star slash all-NBA point guard.
Yeah, he gives you a chance to win every game.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Tyrese Halliburton has not been picked.
Nope.
Jalen Duren has not been picked. I really like Jalen Duren.
Evan Mobley hasn't been picked.
That might have to be... Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, because Evan Mobley can play alongside Chet.
Okay. This isn't tough. So I'm going...
Do I want... Yeah, no, I want. I don't want Triple J. I don't want Triple J. Get him out of my face.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
I'm going Jalen Williams as my shooting guard.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one of the better two-way players. He's young. Yeah. Can grow into a role. Look at that. I have length and athleticism on my team, Kyle.
All right, so your backcourt is Jalen Williams and Tyrese Maxey, with a front court of Paolo, Jalen Williams, and Wemby. No, I'm sorry.
Paolo, Amen Thompson, and Wemby.
Wemby.
And I've got Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams and Tyrese Maxey are your backcourt.
Yep.
Pretty good team. I've got Ant and Cade in the backcourt, with Chet Holmgren and Evan Mobley in the front court. I need a little shooting. Man, this is tough. I'm not even taking like the player I think is best now. I just need some shooting. Boy, not a lot of options here.
Okay. I'm excited to see where you go here.
So here's kind of what I'm thinking. I like Franz Wagner a lot. Franz Wagner is an outstanding player. At really good size, especially really good getting downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite there as a shooter yet, but just a really effective NBA player. I'm looking at Brandon Miller. I really like Brandon Miller a lot. He's out for the year right now, but I like Brandon Miller quite a bit. Man. Keegan Murray is honestly probably the best shooter left on this list.
Probably. Yep.
But I don't think I'm going to go Keegan. Although I guess he'd... no. He'd fit. Be a really good fit. Who are you... Who would you go with?
At this point?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have my starting five, so...
No, I know. Who if you're looking at a backcourt of Anthony Edwards and Cade Cunningham, with Chet Holmgren and Evan Mobley in the front court?
Man, I
don't need a lot of playmaking.
Zion's intriguing.
Is he?
And Franz Wagner's intriguing.
I think I might... Franz is the name I keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
Just for... it's best player.
Okay.
So I think Franz is now the... is the direction I'm going to put in the front court with Chet and Evan Mobley.
Okay.
I don't love my spacing.
I'm not going to worry about my spacing yet.
Okay, great.
I'm going to go... I'm going Scottie Barnes.
Oh, face of the NBA?
Yeah, he is a face of the NBA, and nice. I need a defensive guy who can play the one, the three, the four,
okay,
and sometimes the five.
I like that. Ja Morant is my next pick.
Oh, wow.
The fact that, you know what's crazy about Ja is if we had done this exercise 2 years ago, he might have gone first.
Probably.
He was on an ascension that had him looking like he was going to be one of the five best players in the league.
No, I totally agree. Yeah.
And then injuries set in, his off-the-court stuff set in, and he's still really good. Memphis is really good in large part because of Ja, but it's just we're, what, this is 12 picks in, and we're just now getting to Ja Morant?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because for me, I'm taking Maxey over Ja because he plays.
Sure, sure. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy most of the time. And All right, my next pick, I'm taking Dyson
last
Daniels.
One. This is your last one.
Okay, Dyson Daniels.
Okay. Just defensive-minded. You can tell that you watch a lot of Kings.
Why would that be?
A lot of defense, a lot of size, a lot of athleticism.
Trey Murphy would probably be a really good pick here. Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton would be a really good pick here.
Yeah, Halliburton is the player I'm looking at. He's been a lot better lately. I keep defaulting to my Pistons. I really love Jalen Duren. Asar Thompson, not quite as good as Amen Thompson, but still really, really good.
Yep.
See him put Jason Tatum on skates the other night. You got guys like Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller is awesome.
Yeah,
Brandon Miller is so
healthy.
Freaking good.
I know. It's just not healthy.
If he was healthy, though,
no,
like
true.
We're in fantasy land right now.
Okay.
I think I have to go Brandon Miller.
Okay.
I think.
I'm intrigued by that. I'll still take my team over your team, but
yeah, I think I would too. No, I feel good. Some of the names that didn't get picked, Tyrese Halliburton, it jumps out for sure. LaMelo didn't get picked.
No.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of players on this list still.
There are so many.
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, get Jaren Jackson out of my face.
He's an all-star.
I don't want Jaren Jackson on my team. Jabari Smith Jr. didn't get picked.
Oh.
You only have one Rocket. Is that right?
Yeah, we didn't even go with Şengün.
Oof. All-star. All-star operant Şengün.
Yeah, there you go. Like 22-year-old all-star.
Yeah, the league's in a good spot, man. Really good spot. All right. We got to step aside. Mark Kotze going to join us next. A's manager from Arizona. Can't wait to chat with him, find out what's going on with your Sacramento A's. The manager, Mark Kotze, going to tell us next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center. Man, they are all big fans of yours, so congratulations on that extension, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. As you all know, I mean, these jobs, there's only 30 of them, and to be privileged enough to be in this seat and to lead this group, get an opportunity to lead this group beyond this year and into Vegas, you know, I'm excited about that. I think the group of guys we have here, you know, we've been through some challenging times these last 2 years, but they've obviously come a long way in their development. And, you know, I feel really good about the nucleus that we're going to bring into Sacramento.
You know, Mark, you talk about the nucleus you're bringing into Sacramento. And first of all, you got Rooker signed, which is spectacular. He's been hitting bombs nonstop the last couple of years. And it also looks like you guys are negotiating with Lawrence Butler for a potential long-term deal. How nice is it for you to see this shift in the organization where you're investing in some of these guys and helping you to build a core so you have sort of those stable pieces in place to build around?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, coming into the league, my rookie year, 1998, was my first full season, but I was a part of a group in 97 of veteran players with the World Series championship Marlins. So knowing that it takes a group of young players time to mature, time to develop, you know, that 98 team ended up winning the World Series in 2003, so it was a five-year journey. But there were a lot of great players. I was traded after the 01 season to San Diego, but the likes of a Derek Lee or a Luis Castillo or, you know, Cliff Floyd, you know, we could go down the list of guys that were a part of the 98 team that ended up being a part of that 03 team. And I think there's a group here, if you're looking at the Lawrence Butler, you know, the Shea Langlier, the J.J. Bleda, and obviously with Rook being signed to Vegas or through Vegas, that we can be excited about. And you know, we're hopeful and we have an expectation level now to be better in this division and give ourselves a realistic chance of winning in the future.
The Eagles will be playing at Sutter Health Park this season. Their manager, Mark Kotze, joining us now on the Insiders. Mark, what are some of the differences for you? Obviously, you went to so many spring trainings as a player. How is it different as a manager for you?
Yeah, it's way more stressful, believe me.
Oh, no.
You know, you gotta not only do you have responsibility to the players and, you know, to the coaching staff. I mean, you're here, you know, working every day to try to get a vision of what this roster is going to shape up like. You know, the hours are from 5:30 in the morning till 5 at night once games start, which they have. But it's fun. I don't feel like I come to work. I love what I do. You know, I've been doing this for 28 years at the major league level, as you talked about, as a player for 17 and a half of those 28. So I don't think I've had a job or worked in my life, really.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
Mark, so cool. That is a good job. When you look at your starting lineup, the guys that are out on the field, we have a good idea who's going to be where and all that stuff. But your starting rotation, some young guys, some veterans that you guys landed this offseason, how is that shaping up? And do you have a good idea of how you're going to walk into this season with your five-man rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a good idea. You know, obviously, you never want to, you know, think about it in terms of injury-related issues, but you have to be prepared for those. But what I do think has happened here is we brought, like you said, some guys in with experience, and that helps the younger guys. It really pushes some guys into roles maybe that they wouldn't get the chance to be in. You know, over the last two seasons, we've had to accelerate the development of some young pitchers, some young arms that we, you know, maybe you could say rushed to the big leagues that weren't ready. But in doing that, they got some experience, and now maybe they're more comfortable, right? So a Severino, a Springs, two veteran guys in the rotation now, you know, it allows the younger guys, whether it's JT Ginn, who had three or four starts at the end of the year, a Brady Basso, who made a couple spot starts for us, it gives them time to develop. But both those young kids have been in the big leagues, so it won't be their first time, you know, going out on the mound and feeling what it's like to have control of a Major League Baseball game. So the depth is something that you always lean on that we haven't had necessarily in the last two, three seasons that we're excited about.
Talking with Mark Kotze, talking some baseball here. The season opener, less than a month away.
Oh
man. I know it's still pretty early in spring training, Mark, but has anybody jumped out to you that maybe, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, fans should be keeping an eye out for outside of, you know, the Langoliers and the Butlers and the Rookers.
Yeah, I mean, you do say it is early. I mean, guys, the most at-bats anyone right now currently in camp, I think, is 12, right? Oh. DJ Alexander, who is a player that has some big league experience. It's on our 40-man roster. He's a left-handed hitter. He's put together some good at-bats, you know, that were obviously evaluating. He's got a chance to make the roster. You know, outside of that, like you said, this is a different year. We do have a core group of guys that we feel confident in leaving camp with, which we haven't necessarily had. You know, this camp, or I should say the last two camps, have been about opportunity, and now that messaging is a little bit different, right? There's not as much opportunity on this roster currently, but that, again, you know, I use the word depth about the pitching staff, and that's something that we want to look for here is, on the position player side. But, you know, Tyler Soderstrom's a kid that has been up since the end of 23, and then last season he's had some injuries. But I'm excited about Tyler. I think Tyler's really matured as a young man. You know, he's more physical. He's leaned out, and he's a player that I'd be excited about, you know, watching his 25 season.
All right, you're listening to Mark Kotze, the manager of the Sacramento A's. Well, not Sacramento A's, the A's. We're just calling them the A's. Just the A's. Mark, you're playing in spring training right now, and that field that you're playing on is going to feel very similar to what you're playing here in Sacramento at Sutter Health Field. Is that a good thing for your guys to kind of get that feel of the spring training feel, but, you know, moving it up to the big leagues and at least having some sort of basis to, you know, sort of build off what you're going to play in this next coming season?
Well, Sutter Health isn't what we're playing here in Mesa by any means. I mean, you know, the changes that they've made over the offseason, if you were in Sutter Health Park last season, you'll walk in and there will be a lot of changes that you will see and recognize. You know, they've brought Sutter Health up to MLB standards. They've added extra lighting. They've changed the batter's eye. They're going to put a new scoreboard into right center. The bullpens are reconstructed. There's actually bathrooms in the bullpens now. The dugout reconstructed. The whole playing surface is brand new. They've dug it up, downed into the dirt, put new drainage. So, you know, it'll be a different ballpark when you walk in. Now, the stands, the seating capacity, that will be the same. And so, you know, there's 14,000, I think, available, you know, opportunities to be in the ballpark, I guess, 14,500 maybe, which I know opening night sold out. And I think the season seats are sold out, and that's somewhere in the range of 7,000. So I think there's going to be a lot of energy. I think I love the excitement about the A's being in Sacramento, that Major League Baseball is coming to Sacramento. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy and excitement about that. And, you know, we are equally as excited to get there and to make this home for over the next three seasons.
Mark Kotze, manager of the Athletics. Mark, go get to that salad and enjoy the game today, all right?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks, Mark. Mark Kotze, manager of the A's. I love that guy. Have I ever told you my Mark Kotze story?
No.
I was going to, if we weren't up against it, I was going to relay this to him. But I'll tell you my Mark Kotze story next, because we've got to step aside right now, and then we'll dive back into some of the games that helped the Kings, some of the games that hurt the Kings last night, and what we're going to be watching for tonight. Well, the Kings are off once again. They don't play again until Saturday in Houston. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Second hour of the Insiders coming up next, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.